Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to WrestleChat Radio. Well, hello everyone and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's SmackDown Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing this week's SmackDown Live at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486 if you'd like to talk to us live. Of course, you can always hit us up in the chat room and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, SmackDown had a couple of problems before they even started this week. The first one being extraordinarily low attendance. People who were actually there said it was about a two-thirds full, which is not good. That's not a good sign for the WWE. The second is Monday Night Raw. That's an awful lot to live up to after what most people are saying is one of the best Monday Night Raws in many, 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 many years. And quite honestly, they didn't do it. But we'll be getting into that in just a minute because we do have a few news items we'd like to run by you first. First one is we've been keeping you up to date on the Roman Reigns steroid abuse scandal in which Rodriguez, his first name escapes me, a guy who owned a gym and a health supplement place who was recently, or not so recently, arrested for running a steroid operation, had listed Roman Reigns as one of his clients, and a filmmaker who has done a few documentaries on this man is now saying he has even more proof. He has the Roman Reigns denied it, said he does not know the guy. He does not know about this facility. He has no idea what the guy's talking about. This filmmaker says, I have his computer, and his computer clearly shows one of the clients with the actual real account and a real account of email account listed as Reigns, quote unquote, wrestler. The thing is, now they're saying, well, this is tied into why he was suspended. But he was not suspended for steroids that we know of. As a matter of fact, he was supposedly suspended for a drug which does enhance your athletic prowess, but not necessarily build muscle. That's used, I think, to treat ADD or some other illness. So I'm a little bit confused to where we stand here. Now, whether Roman Reigns at some point in his life took steroids, I don't know. I'm just telling you that right now he does not look like a man who is on anything. He looks like a guy who works out, you know, regularly, but he's not bulky. He doesn't have that water-filled muscle tissue, and I just don't see it. And I'm sure he's regularly tested by the WWE. So if this were the case, it would have had to been way back then when he had that substance abuse suspension. And then what? If it turns out that that's the truth, the WWE is probably going to say, well, then, okay, he was suspended for that a long time ago. So I don't really think this is a big story. The only way this is going to be a big story is if Roman Reigns is categorically denying knowing this man, categorically denying ever purchasing anything from this man through this website or through this the gym or whatever the hell else, and they have concrete proof otherwise, then, I mean, he's going to get called out for being a liar. And your best bet at this point, if it was something that happened a year ago or more, it's just to say, yeah, that's where I got the stuff I was suspended for. And I haven't done it since and whatever. And then, you know what, then it goes away. But if you start saying, oh no, this guy's a liar, I'm going to, you know, sue him for slander, he's making it up, and it turns out you're lying, this is going to look way worse. So I don't know where that lands right now. But, my advice to Roman Reigns would be to just own up to whatever and walk away from this. I don't think he's on anything now. If he is, he should get his money back because he's not looking in that kind of condition. Second thing that we want to mention is the state of Louisiana, host of this year's WrestleMania, has banned, in its boxing and wrestling commission, has banned the use of the pile driver and has banned any blood. I don't know how you can ban accidental blood, and I don't know what will happen if any accidental blood is shed. But they've banned blading, basically, from professional wrestling. So there'll be no blood at WrestleMania unless it's accidental. And you know what? There hasn't been blood for a long time in the WWE except accidental, and people are living with that. But we have a bigger problem, don't we? And that is, if the rumors are true that the WWE is bringing back The Undertaker, he can't use the Tombstone Piledriver because it's banned. Hey, it's a very weird thing, you know. I mean, there are moves. Yes, is that a dangerous move, the Piledriver in general? Yeah, it is. But there are just as many dangerous moves. I mean, they're not banning a top rope, you know, plancha. And if you land on the floor the right way, you're crippled. If you crash and burn doing a suicide dive and you hit your neck on the guardrail, I guess you're probably in worse shape than if you took a pile driver. So the problem is, the people who are banning these moves, they don't really understand wrestling, and they just look at it, and the ones that look bad, they say, oh, that looks bad. You know, we better ban that. That looks dangerous. And then the ones that maybe don't look like they're all that dangerous for the person taking it can sometimes be more dangerous for the person giving it. But either way, that leaves them in a quandary, because the Undertaker will apparently not be able to do the Tombstone Piledriver should he actually be at WrestleMania, which is being rumored. And of course, we hinted on it at the beginning of the show, but the third piece of news that's worthy of comment is that the WWE is having some major trouble with their ticket sales. SmackDown, 2/3 filled in an arena that's not that large. And now rumors circulating that the WWE is having tremendous trouble selling out the Elimination Chamber, to the point where they added Ronda Rousey as a extra added bonus, hoping that that was going to sell more tickets, and that didn't work either. And now they're doing a buy one, get one free to attempt to fill up the arena for the Elimination Chamber. Now, we could factor this in many ways. We could say, well, the Elimination Chamber isn't exciting because we all know who's winning. But is that really the point? I mean, a good wrestling fan who's been a wrestling fan for years knows who's winning a lot of the time. And it's not really so much about who wins as how they get there. Was it a good match? Seeing all the top stars and, you know, watching them perform. So I don't think you can really lay that at the door of, well, the ending is obvious. So the WWE has a problem with their ticket sales. Now, some people are saying, you know, it's an overload of wrestling. There's too much on every week on TV, and then the pay-per-views, and the ticket prices are obscene, and there's a lot of reasons, and we're going to delve into them more on another show. But it is noteworthy that the WWE, even having trouble selling out the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. So those are the three articles of news, Mike. Feel free to comment on any or all of them.
Well, first off, you know, one little thing about the Reigns deal. Most of the guys, you know, who have the Twitters in the WWE, it'll say WWE Roman Reigns or WWE Bayley or whatever. That's their official thing. Unless he's going by his real name of Annaway, you know, which in the story you said, the guy said the Twitter thing said Reigns, right?
It does, but he may have just been referring to him as that because that's how he knows him. Perhaps Reigns didn't want to give his real name, you know?
Right. So So, I mean, if it's his, if he went through his Twitter feed, then that's a mistake by Reigns. But if this guy is saying that Reigns went through his unofficial, his Twitter feed by his real name, then fine, all right, that's one. This whole thing with Louisiana, I've had a big problem with the Louisiana, and I live in Louisiana, with the Louisiana boxing and wrestling thing, making rules that doesn't make sense. Again, we've talked ad nauseum about logic in wrestling. Well, some of these rules, and I've lived under them, you know, I've watched them come up with them, that this Boxing and Wrestling Association have made aren't logical, because of the fact that you get into wrestling, you know there's a chance of injury. You know that something can happen, you know, you could end up like Steve Austin. You could end up like any number of people that have been injured by the pile driver, you know that when you get into this sport, you know that there's a chance that this could happen. If it's landed wrong, it could happen, you know, and that's what they have. Nobody on this commission that understands wrestling, you know, they have nobody. So that's what makes this rule illogical to me.
Yeah, it seems a little illogical to me too, because as I said, a pile driver is only dangerous if you screw it up. So I can name you a lot of other moves that they're not banning that I would rather not take before I would rather not take a pile driver. If you want to give me a list of moves that Marcus Kane would rather not have done on him, I can give you a long list before the pile driver. Honestly, if you trust the guy that's doing it, and you know, there are ways to do this that are pretty damn safe. I mean, it's just the way it is. They're not banning AJ Styles Clash, and that's hurt some people in the past if it's not done right. And you know, I just don't understand the blood. Well, you know, some people are uncomfortable with that for a lot of reasons. I don't know. What are you supposed to do? I mean, it's like saying, well, you're banning blood in boxing. Well, it's going to happen at some point. So I don't know. Todd, what do you think about the low ticket sales? I mean, that seems very odd for this time of year. We're on the road to WrestleMania and they can't sell out the Elimination Chamber.
You're absolutely right there. The ticket sales for WWE events, especially the SmackDown show for like the TV show, is like, when I've seen the photos of it online, it's like, man, that don't look good at all. With low ticket sales, the building's not even half full. It's like half empty, actually. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's no good to be the house that AJ Styles built if it's an empty house. So anyway, let's get on to SmackDown. First off, let me say that I'm going to try to prevent myself from being overly critical just due to the fact that I'm comparing it to Raw, because that's unfair. By the way, we should say before we get in on the SmackDown, word has come out that the person who booked that gauntlet match on Monday Night Raw was not Triple H at all. It was, in fact, Vince McMahon. And I might add that it's Vince McMahon who has always said shorter matches because fans don't have the attention span and they'll flick the channel and we'll lose ratings. Well, guess what? 3.5 million people tuned in at the beginning of Raw, and very, very few, less than ever before, well, not ever, but less than in the past year, tuned out. You had a very, very small drop-off rate, very, very small drop-off rate, and very small drop-off rate for the second hour. Third hour got a big drop-off rate when the match was over. If this is not proof positive that what we've been saying on this show forever is true, and that is, you're wrong. Fans do not have a short attention span. Fans will not switch the channel if it's a long match. How many times, if you're a sports fan or a fight fan, how many times have you been flicking the old dial on the TV one day when you're bored and then maybe there's a boxing match on and you don't know either person? And if you watch one round, you don't care who wins. and you just say, "Ah, forget it. Let me go see if there's a rerun or something else on." But if you get sucked in and you watch two or three rounds, pretty soon you're like, "Oh, I kind of want this guy to win," and then you won't turn the station. A baseball game is the same way. Maybe it's like, "Oh, well, these aren't two teams I follow, but something cool happened here, and I'm sort of watching the game, and if I invest more than a couple of innings of my time in it, I've picked somebody I want to win, and I'm going to watch it." That's the way I am. If I don't tune out immediately, I will get invested in it, and I'll watch it. So I think it's the opposite. I think if a fan sits down to watch a match, and within the first 5 or 6 minutes he gets invested in it, he's going to watch it to the end. He's not going to turn it off. Just the opposite. And the casual fan who says, "I don't normally watch this stuff," may actually watch it. As I just described above, Mike, I'm sure that's happened to you where you flicked the station, didn't think you were going to watch something, but you get caught up in it and you say, "Maybe I'll watch it to the end now."
Right. Yeah. And there have been times when I've been watching my favorite baseball team and they say, "Okay, this is happening. This is happening. This no hitter or something is happening." And it turns out it's happening on another channel that I can get. During watching my favorite team, I will switch over to that other game to watch that no hitter until the guy eventually gets hit, you know? So, yeah, you're right. And that's what happened. That's exactly what happened. And, I mean, what got into Vince when he's talking about all this, people have short attention spans, but then he comes up and does this, 20-minute matches, basically a two-on match, 20-minute segments to each match and whatever. And what got into Vince? What changed his mind?
I'll tell you what I think changed his mind. And this is going to what Derek in the chat room is saying, too. He said, I thought you'd be highly upset and irritated that they didn't put on a quality SmackDown. Vince wanted the Elimination Chamber to sell, and he knows the tickets aren't selling. So they put on a Raw that's like, whoa, that's damn good. And if the Elimination Chamber is as good as that, I want to see it. That's number one. That's called publicizing your event, sucking people in who said, "I don't think I'm going to watch this event. I don't think I'm going to go and buy that $9.99 card." And then they see Monday night and they're like, "Yeah, maybe I will. This is looking pretty good." That's number one. As far as SmackDown is concerned, they got a few weeks till their pay-per-view. And Vince didn't want anything on SmackDown to detour or take away from the momentum of Monday Night Raw had built up toward Elimination Chamber because they need to sell those tickets. So at the same time, people who are saying, "Well, maybe I, will buy the Elimination Chamber and see Fastlane too," which I guess you could do, the timing is right. They didn't want there to be more excitement or whatever for Fastlane, especially with maybe live ticket sales too. So I think they just said, "Look, let's make this the Elimination Chamber week. Elimination Chamber is right around the corner. It's Sunday. This is our go-home show. We don't need to put on a go-home show for SmackDown, and SmackDown can coast." I think that's part of it. I'm not saying it's right, but I think that's part of it, and that's why I'm not going to judge it, because I think Vince pulled out all the stops to try to sell that Elimination Chamber on Monday night. Anyway, we start out with AJ Styles and Renee Young, and was it Renee Young? I don't remember who the hell was in the ring. I think it was Renee. It was whoever it was. AJ Styles is in there, and I love AJ Styles, but this was a horrible promo. You couldn't have scripted it. He might as well have read it off a napkin. It was horrible bringing her over. You see that announcer's table? Well, I could put Kevin Owens through that, but while I'm doing that, maybe Dolph Ziggler's pinning Baron Corbin. You see those? It was just terrible. It was terrible. AJ is not good when it's scripted. AJ is only good when he can just talk off the cuff. And that was not off the cuff. That was 100% definitely scripted. And it was bad. And then out comes Baron Corbin to make it worse. And they have a little war of words. Out comes Kevin Owens. And really, this is a bad beginning to SmackDown. I mean, it's one of those beginnings where you're just like, "Oi, here we go. It's going to be a 40 minutes until we get the first match, and And I guess our feature match is now going to be Baron Corbin versus AJ Styles. And then we get, of course, Dolph Ziggler versus Kevin Owens. Well, Dolph Ziggler versus Kevin Owens starts it out. And to be honest with you, that's the best part of SmackDown. They actually put on a really good match. And it really picked it up toward the end, too. I mean, the beginning was a little slow, and then all of a sudden the pace got better. The whole thing got better, and I'm like, they actually put on a really good match. Dolph Ziggler is now fighting like a guy who is earning his $1.5 million for 2 years, okay? And I can see a universe by which Dolph Ziggler gets used a bit, you know, because he's putting on good performances. But as we saw, they don't think of him as a world beater that's going to get, you know, top billing. He, again, loses to Kevin Owens. Yes, there was a distraction, but nonetheless, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are the story here. But I thought it was a really good match, Mike. I didn't really have a problem with the opening.
I didn't have a problem with the opening either. And it also served another thing. It sort of advanced that Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn story, I think. Just a tad, you know, sort of advanced it. And if you can advance a storyline at the cost, I don't want to say at the cost of a guy, but if you can advance a storyline, it's always a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, they did, and they advanced the storyline a little bit also later on with Shane and Daniel Bryan. But let me address something that Derek in the chat room is saying. Remember last week when Shane McMahon stood in the ring and there was a flood of Rusev Day chants when he said, "We want to listen to the fans"? And Shane McMahon said, "Duly noted," to acknowledge, "I hear you." Okay, well, you heard us. And now we haven't seen Rusev since. He's not been on TV for 2 weeks. Now, I know he's doing the mixed match challenge. That's no excuse. Other people have done the mixed match challenge and still appeared on SmackDown. And I don't know whether he appeared in a dark match. It doesn't matter. He wasn't on TV, is what I'm saying. No Rusev on TV for 2 weeks. No Nakamura, who's going to WrestleMania, on TV for 2 weeks. Now, you could make one of two arguments. You could say, look, these guys are over. The fans love Rusev. The fans love Nakamura. So let's give some attention to the guys who we need to work on. We need to work on them getting to like this character or that character. But they're not really doing that. If they had done that, if they said, well, we're going to use this opportunity to bring in a couple of guys. I know they're trying to work on Rude a little bit. And they've had some success making Rude a little more plausible as a face. But how is this duly noted? How is it duly noted that the fans want Rusev and then you say, oh, but we're not giving them to you? It's really weird. It's weird how the WWE works like that. It's almost like they're punishing you for raising your voice during a, how dare you speak? How dare you speak your mind when we were trying to do a gimmick on how we listen to the fans? Hey, and I caught heat from some of you fans who said, well, aren't they listening to the fans? And what did I tell you? I told you they're not listening to the fans. They're pretending to listen to the fans. They're using you as a tool to say, see how we listen to the fans. But I also told you, watch and see if they do anything with Rusev after that organic chant of Rusev Day that they couldn't ignore. If they take that as an insult and say, oh, you wanted to ruin our little skit here? Fine, we're not going to put Rusev on TV. Or if they say, hey, fans really want Rusev, get him front and center. Well, guess which one they did? Guess which one they did? Now, we can only hope that they're saying, let's let Rusev stay off TV for a few weeks and repackage him up as, you know, really strong since he lost the last time we saw him and things. But I don't see that. I see this as them saying, how dare you interrupt our speech, our gimmick in the ring with chants of Rusev when what we were doing wasn't even about Rusev. And for that, a couple weeks without him. I really feel that way. They're not going to tell you I'm nuts. They're going to say that's crazy. We wouldn't. Why would we do that? And that is a good question. I don't know why you would. But why do I think that's exactly what happened, Mike?
It's probably, if I would put a percentage to that, it's probably 80-20. That's what's happening. But I'd like to believe the exact opposite is what's happening, and the repackaging is coming, and that repackaging is going to include Lana, because you saw the reaction when they put her and him back together for the Mixed Match Challenge. That's another thing that maybe you might not be factoring into the scenario here, is they saw the reaction for those two people at the Mixed Match Challenge, and then we know what the reaction is for Rusev generally. So it could be that, but I seem to believe it's 80-20 what you just said, though.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I'm sorry to say, but you don't acknowledge it and say duly noted and then leave the guy off TV for 2 weeks. Could you not have had him at least cut a promo backstage that was taped? Could you not at least have had something happen? Of course you could. Sounds a little weird to me, Todd.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, they make sure to want Rusev to wrestle on that show because the fans want Rusev, in the Rusev Day thing.
Yeah, I mean, Derek is saying how do you expect fans to buy a ticket if their favorite wrestlers aren't there? Well, I don't know. I don't know if they're in a dark match that we didn't see. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure what happened, but what I do know is this. Fans are chanting for Rusev, and you kept him off TV 2 weeks. And whether you're repackaging him or you're not repackaging him, I don't see that as being duly noted, as Shane McMahon said. I see that as being F you. F you for ruining this spot with a Rusev chant when we're not talking about Rusev. That's the way I see it. Could be wrong. Anyway, we get the six women match with a Riot Squad. Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, Naomi. It was a fair match, but it didn't. And by the way, you noticed that the announcers were playing up how great Sarah Logan did. That's because she really did. Last week, Sarah Logan really impressed the hell out of me. This week, not so much. She's better when she's by herself, but they are playing up the same thing we said. She's that sort of country girlish, she'll, you know, put her fist in your face type attitude, and this is exactly what they need to play up with Sarah Logan. She's the one out of those three, let's face it. Ruby Riott's a great wrestler. Sarah Logan is green still, but she's got a difference in style. And Liv Morgan's just hot. Okay, and so she's going to get that pop because she's hot. Towards Sarah Logan as being someone who's going to actually arrive and get some stuff done in the WWE. I could see her having a decent run as a heel and then flipping on the Riot Squad and being very popular as one of these, you know, down-home country girls who you don't mess with. I could really see that. Was this match good? No, the match was not good. And what made this match worse, and I cannot believe that the WWE is so lackluster that they did this, and I don't know if anybody caught it. After the match, which was won by the Riot Squad, Ruby Riott and Charlotte Flair obviously are going to fight. Charlotte Flair's been promoting that for weeks, saying one down, two to go, two down, one to go. They played their interviews, their backstage segments, out of order. They played Charlotte Flair first saying, I will bring my title to the Elimination Chamber, and I will defend it against you if that's what it takes to get you in the ring. And I thought to myself, who said that? Then a few minutes later, they play Ruby Riott's spot where she says, if you want me, then you're going to have to put your title on the line. And I said, oh, my God, they played them out of order. Some idiot played him out of order. It's not a big deal, but it goes to show you, Mike, that the powers that be aren't paying real close attention.
They're not running a tight ship. This stuff would never happen. back in the Attitude Era, even in the Ruthless Aggression Era, it would never have happened. You know, I mean, this is some idiot in a truck. I mean, it's obvious that they wanted those two things to play. It's obvious, all right. But you got to play them in the right order, you know. And some idiot in a truck decides to play Charlotte's first and then Ruby Riott's. It's not logical, you know. It's not logical to play them in the order they did. And, you know, Ruby, I agree with you with assessing the three members of the Riott Squad. In fact, I'll go even one further. Liv Morgan is kind of reminds me of the Raw champion right now.
Alexa Bliss.
Alexa Bliss when she first comes up. You know, a very pretty girl, but, you know, maybe a little bit better wrestler than Bliss was when she first come up, but a very pretty girl who's very green, whereas, again, Sarah Logan has that ODB feel to me.
Sarah Logan just has a unique style. I don't think there's another woman in the division. Becky Lynch would be the closest, I guess, that has sort of that smash mouth style. And I'd really like to see a match between Sarah Logan and Becky Lynch. I think that would be a really, really, really good match, actually. Yeah, I think she's the one, Todd, who could probably go the farthest out of these three in the Riott Squad.
You're absolutely right there. With Sarah Logan, she could be one of those WWE women's division members, could be like one of the best in the singles competition if they turn her face down the road.
I think they will. I think that'll be the first one, you know. I think the fans are going to start taking to that style a little bit, and then they're going to probably ease it up a little and make her a little less whatever, and the next thing you know, she's going to be that girl who, you know, don't mess with her or she'll come out here and kick your ass, a la Steve Austin. I really think that's what they're going to do with it. If they don't, they're stupid, because that's exactly the role she should fill. Anyway, we get a number one contenders match with the New Day, here's what I'll say about the New Day. I have never seen a tag team stick around for so long that I'm still not sick of. I thought I would be sick of the New Day 6 months after they debuted. Well, when they first debuted, I thought it would be about a week, because they were horrible. The whole gimmick was horrible. But this new version of the New Day, I said, okay, it's funny. Okay, the crowd loves it. Okay, you know, this is going to work. But it's going to work for a year maybe. And then it's going to start to ease down. But it's not really easing down. And I'm not sick of them. And I think it's just because they're being – I've had a lot of people say to me, when you find a character – that's sort of an extension of you, but maybe dialed up a lot, then the fans are going to react to that because it seems genuine and it seems real. And even though it's you dialed up to 10, and you're not like that outside the ring, it's still you. And I really think that's the New Day. I just really think these guys come off as being like, they don't come off as being, we're trying to be funny, and we wrote this backstage a minute ago. They kind of come off as this is just them. And for whatever reason, I'm not sick of them. For whatever reason, I still look forward to seeing the New Day. Now, Gable and Benjamin, I don't know what's going to happen. But nothing good, I don't think. I mean, they're not doing so well, are they? And it looks like we're going to get another, this was the number one contenders match, so we get another shot at the Usos and the New Day. I promise you this will be broken up by the Bludgeon Brothers. I promise you. If it even gets to that without having the Bludgeon Brothers in it, it will be broken up by the Bludgeon Brothers. They did a brilliant spot, which I'll give them a lot of credit for, where the Bludgeon Brothers come down before the New Day has totally exited the ring, and Eric Rowan starts to go after them. Puts one hand on his shoulder and focuses him back to the ring, where two of the smallest professional wrestlers I've seen in a long time are waiting to just get massacred. And boy, did they massacre him. They've turned it up every week. And the idea behind this is solid, and that is you're seeing them destroy people who you know aren't worthy to be in the ring with them, while teasing, they're very close to those people who are worthy to be in the ring with them and who are going to give them trouble, a la the New Day and the Usos. So they're teasing it the right way. I don't think you can do this forever. So if they're waiting to say we're going to have the tag team match with the Bludgeon Brothers is going to wait till WrestleMania, that's a long time. That's a long time. I don't know if you can stretch it that far. Maybe you can. But up to this point, Mike, I think they've been doing a good job keeping the Bludgeon Brothers solid and teasing that moment when they're going to fight better talent.
That's right. You know, look, we first off, you mentioned the New Day. Even the teasing pattern after the Freebirds, after a short period of time, you know, Buddy Roberts retired and Bam Bam Gordy went their separate ways, you know, and that was only after 2 or 3 or 4 years. This could go on. This New Day thing could go on a very, very long time, you know. Now, I'm not going to say it is, but it could. Now, as far as I like what they're doing. I mean, now they're going to have to put them against some bigger guys at some point. I'm talking about Rowan and Harper, you know. They're going to have to put them against some guys. I mean, even if some bigger guys that are bigger local talent, instead of, you know, 120-pound Mr. X and 150-pound Mr. Y, you know.
Yeah.
It's gone. You know.
They did have him destroy the Ascension, you know, but that was a while ago. It's almost like they probably shouldn't have done that, Mike. They probably should have stuck with local talent and then worked their way up to, you know, the Fashion Police and the Ascension on their way to. They kind of jumped backwards. They did Fashion Police, Ascension, back to local talent. That was weird. That was probably mishandled. Still, I think they're doing an okay job, Todd, of teasing that moment when they fight, you know, really quality talent.
You're absolutely right there. You're going to see the bigger feuds with the New Day and the Usos down the road. Hopefully not too long until they get the right time and the right place for.
Yeah, they're going to have to do it fairly soon. I don't know if they can stretch that out to WrestleMania. We'll see. Anyway, let me talk before we even do the feature match. Let me talk about the weird thing between Sami Zayn and Kevin Owen. Sami Zayn basically comes backstage and says, look, the reason I'm where I am is because of you. And I just want to make this clear. We're going into the Elimination Chamber. Our goal is to eliminate everybody else. And then when it's just you and me, I'll do the right thing and lay down. Look, this could go one or two ways. This could go to Sami Zayn is going to be the guy who eliminates Kevin Owen and the feud begins. They don't really get that chance because they're both eliminated by someone. I'm sorry, I don't mean the Elimination Chamber. I mean the title match. This could go one of two ways. Either, wait a minute. What I think is going to end up happening is you're going to see a breakup, but you're going to see the breakup come the other way. I really feel that that's true. I mean, now I know we confuse the Elimination Chamber with the Fastlane pay-per-view, but Mike, there's no way Sami Zayn lays down, because if he does, where's the heat? Who gets the heat then?
Unless they're going to stick to this whole co-championship thing, which they haven't really mentioned lately, but it's still out there, you know.
Right. He says, yeah. let's eliminate. You know, let's work together, and then when the time comes, I'll lay down for you. If he does that, does that make him co-champion? Kevin Owens didn't say that. As a matter of fact, him and Kevin Owens had just got finished saying how him and Sami Zayn were through and Sami Zayn let him down. So I don't think that's the way it's going to go. But if you looked at Kevin Owens' face, Kevin Owens wasn't buying it. And I don't know who would be what are you going to do? You're going to turn one of these guys' face off of what?
You know, I don't know, because we've said it recently and for the last few months, is that Sami Zayn is better as a heel,
right,
than he is as a face. Now, there were points in the last few months, up to about 4 or 5 months ago, where we were saying, well, where it looked like that the fans wanted to cheer for Kevin Owens. When are they going to turn him?
Right.
You know, that could be where this is headed.
You can't turn him off this, Mike. You can't turn him off. Sami Zayn turned his back on Kevin Owens because people are going to say, well, Kevin Owens was more than willing to accept a guy laying down for him and not getting a real victory. That's not a good guy. I don't think you could turn him face off this. I don't see this going anywhere except a big blow up. Now, we had all kinds of rumored matches for WrestleMania. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens were going to take on Shane McMahon and somebody. At some stage, they were even saying Daniel Bryan, but that's not looking to be true. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know where this is going to go. They've got me confused. I'm confusing pay-per-views even with them, saying we're going to eliminate everybody else. But the bottom line of the situation is Sami Zayn cannot turn face off of that storyline because he looks like a cheater. And Kevin Owens can't turn face off that storyline because he looks like he's complicit with it and saying, good, easier for me. So I don't know where that can go. I just don't know where it can go. Now, Baron Corbin comes off, looking weird, too. He comes out there and jaw jacks with AJ Styles. And, for a moment, I thought maybe they're going to try to flip Baron Corbin because he's not doing well as a heel. And maybe they're going to make him this tough dude who's better off being a badass face. But no, he came out there and same old BS as always. And I don't even know what the hell's going on with Ziggler. But they got to stop the stupid scratch the music off and then start it when he's halfway down. That's not working anymore. It's just not working. So let me get this straight. AJ Styles is in the ring with four heels. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Baron Corbin. Okay, and Dolph Ziggler. Now the heels don't like each other, maybe. But come on. Come on. That sounds weird. And I don't know where they're going with it. Honest to God, I don't know where they're going with it. I do know that there is a very slim chance that AJ Styles is losing that belt because they want Styles and Nakamura at WrestleMania. I can guarantee you that. So this match has got to be booked to do something other than just make AJ look strong going into WrestleMania. Otherwise, it's a wasted match. Now, his match with Baron Corbin, it's passable. It's a good match. AJ Styles doesn't have really bad matches. But it wasn't an AJ Styles type match, and you have to blame Corbin. Corbin's a guy who can wrestle one style, and that is it. And you're either going to like the way he does things or you're not going to like the way he does things, but he's not changing. And I got news for you. He's not getting any better either. It's not like he's been in this business 5 minutes. He's pretty much where he's going to be. He could polish up a few things, especially his interview skills and things. But as far as his in-ring, he's pretty much where he's going to be. And that's either going to be good enough or it's not. And truthfully, it's probably not. But they still try to shove him down your throat and put him in whatever they can to convince you that it is. And my thought on the whole thing is it might be time to flip him. Get what you can out of him as a face and see if fans are more lenient toward his shortcomings if he's just a badass face who basically punches and kicks you than he is a heel. The match is fair. I'm not going to complain about it, but, look, if you're those people sitting in that audience, and I don't know what dark matches you saw, but if you're those people sitting in that audience, you're not seeing Nakamura. You're not seeing Rusev. That hurts. You're seeing Randy Orton, and you're seeing Bobby Roode, and you're seeing Jinder Mahal, but again, you're not seeing him fight. You're just seeing him in a convoluted sort of a... doesn't even make any sense. Jinder Mahal comes out and says, I'm going to reveal something shocking about Bobby Roode that's going to, you know, just be shocking. And I thought it was going to reveal something like, you know, bad. Instead, he comes up with this cockamamie, ludicrous, I found his scoring sheet for the top 10. What are we, in kindergarten? And he didn't even vote for Randy Orton. So what? And he voted for himself, number one. Well, then that would be Daniel Bryan's fault, wouldn't it? Because certainly you should have to sign your... have to sign it. And if you see that Bobby Roode's voted for himself and that's against the rules, then you say, okay, well, then I can't count him, can I? It just doesn't make any sense. So Jinder Mahal comes out here like he finds out Bobby Roode has, you know, a criminal past and says, he cheated on the top 10 list. And I'm just laughing because it's just ridiculous. And then to make it worse, Bobby Roode has to come out offended and say, oh, how dare you? How dare you? That's not my top 10 list. Oh, my God. Was that bad? And I did not vote for myself. And I did vote for Randy Orton. It doesn't matter. Jesus. And then, God, it was just terrible. Then Randy Orton comes out. And you think he's going to catch the RKO from nowhere again on Roode. Instead, Roode hits the glorious DDT on him. But Jinder Mahal, once again, gets the Coloss. He's the one who stands strong at the end. And Daniel Bryan says, look, Jinder Mahal's obviously got some kind of a plan going here, and I think maybe you just give him the title shot and whatever. And Shane McMahon says, no. It's going to Randy Orton. And I've already made the decision. That's the way it's going to go. You can bet Jinder Mahal gets added to that match. You can bet Jinder Mahal gets added to that match. Otherwise, I don't know what the hell Jinder Mahal is doing out there every week. But then now my question for everyone is, does anybody care about this match? Have you done enough? Truthfully, I'd rather see Randy Orton and Bobby Roode by themselves. I think it would probably be a better match. I'm sick of these three-way. Every match lately is three-way, five-way, seven-way, nine-way. God almighty, just whatever happened to two guys being able to carry the water by themselves? Thing of the past, I guess. I'd rather see Orton and Roode by themselves and maybe Jinder Mahal interfere in some way or whatever happens. But I don't think we're going to see that. Mike, what do you think of that whole segment? Because I found it so ridiculously juvenile.
You know, when Shane came out and did what he did, after we saw what Jinder did, I'm thinking, okay, they're trying to turn Jinder, you know, because what probably should have happened is, well, Jinder hears about this, and you know, and he agrees with Daniel Bryan, and he says, well, what are you doing? I just left these two guys laying, and I should be added to the match, you know, but you're not gonna be. Well, and sit down and shut up, some to that effect. Shane McMahon, you know, that's what I thought. I thought they were going to try and turn Jinder.
It's going to be real hard to turn Jinder Mahal, especially when he's coming out saying, I have these proof that Bobby Roode is a cheat. Oh, it's just terrible. I can't tell you how bad that was. Like, anybody cares. There's not one person who said, he did what? He put himself number one, and he didn't put Randy Orton on the list? That bastard. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Now, if you really wanted to start the feud, you should have had Bobby Roode. You should have had him say, look, I found this tape of Bobby Roode talking to somebody and, you know, saying something negative about Randy Orton, saying, yeah, you know, look, Randy Orton, the legend killer, but, you know, he's never really lived up to the legend of his father. And to be honest with you, he's been pampered. He's like a pampered WWE superstar, and you know, he's living off reputation mostly. Then you could say, oh, crap, man. He can't deny saying that, and that can't make Orton very happy. Then you'd have something. But to just say he put himself on the top 10 list, oh, my God. Terrible. Just terrible. And Randy Orton's not doing himself any favors either. Because we don't even know where he's coming from. Is he a heel? Is he a face? Is he a tweener? We don't even know. It doesn't. Nobody's going to be interested in that. You should have really just went ahead and done the flip, if that's what you're going to do. You should have made Rude say something not so terribly negative about Randy Orton, but something that's close to the truth, that Randy Orton could really come out and say, you know what, you've been in this company for, you know, a heartbeat. How dare you talk to me like that? I've held the belt countless numbers of times while you were in some peewee league trying to earn yourself a reputation. I'd have liked to have seen a bitter feud that way. I really would have. Where Bobby Roode could have easily said, and if I were here, and I had a dad who handpicked me to be in the WWE, I probably would have held the belt twice as much as you. You know, we could have had a blood feud here. We could have had that feud of egos where Randy Orton, a huge ego, says, how dare anybody talk negative about me, especially you. And Bobby Roode saying, you know, you were given every opportunity in the world that I never got, and now you're going to brag about it when 90% of the wrestling community would never get the chances you had because they didn't have your father's last name. I would have liked to have seen that. Instead, we're just going to see a you didn't put me on the top 10 list. How dare you type feud? And I don't, wow. That's like kindergarten stuff. You didn't pick me for how dare you? Well, really bad. And then Jinder Mahal trying to look evil. I have discovered a deep, dark secret about Bobby Roode. That's your deep, dark secret? Holy crap. Todd, that was pretty bad.
You're absolutely right there. That is really bad. It's like, come on now. How dare you put that on the top 10 list? It's like, all right, who's booking that? Who's writing that script right there?
I'm hoping the top 10 list is over. I'm hoping that we don't have another one. You know, Derek is saying, look, that's going to be a feature on SmackDown. Let's hope they've learned from it and said, nah, this ain't going to work. Because what are you going to do? Start feuds about it every week? Oh, this week so-and-so is number six. So the person who was number six that dropped down to number nine is upset. What the hell? You can't do it. If that's what you're going to do, shoot me. Because all it makes anybody look like is a great big ego head. How are you going to have a good guy say, I am so upset. I used to be number three and now I'm number seven. I demand a match against number three. Come on. Makes you look so petty and ridiculous. You can't have it. You can't have that. So let's hope that's not where it's heading. Anyway, I mean, look, SmackDown had a lot to live up to and it didn't do it. Now, part of it was probably by design. As I said, I don't think Vince McMahon and company wanted SmackDown to overshadow the upcoming Elimination Chamber. They didn't want people to say, oh, man, Fastlane compared to the Elimination Chamber. You know, who cares about the Elimination Chamber? They didn't want that. But Lord knows you could have gave us a little more than this. You could have paid enough attention to get the female video package on in the correct order. And by the way, just as an aside, if the women's revolution or evolution is so vitally important and it is such a big, huge part of the WWE, how come it ain't drawn? How come their Elimination Chamber match didn't guarantee a sellout? Here's why it's not drawn. It's not drawn because there's not enough interesting people. And there's not enough storylines going in. Now, you did a little better job this year. We have a few storylines going into the Elimination Chamber, but what's Fastlane? What do we got that? Ruby Riott versus Charlotte Flair is not exactly must go run and buy a ticket to see. We haven't seen Ruby Riott really do too much since she got here. And Carmella, who's the forgotten person, that's going to have to be cashed in soon. I mean, it could be cashed in as really soon. And I doubt she's winning it. So really, there's not a lot. So when you're going to put on a SmackDown like this and you say, look, we don't want to go overboard. We don't want to overshadow the Elimination Chamber. But you could at least put Nakamura on there against decent competition. You could at least put Rusev on the show, even if he just comes out to do an interview or, you know, get the crowd to go Rusev Day. So you acknowledge, look, fans, we heard your voice last week. We know you want Rusev. So even if we don't want him to wrestle because he's wrestling in a mixed match or he's doing something else, he's going to come out and we're going to cut a promo or whatever we're going to do. The very fact you didn't have him at all, not even backstage in a pre-taped interview, leads me to believe you're punishing the fans for making the noise they made last week. And if your goal in your wrestling federation is punish the fans into liking what we want them to like, then you're going to fail. You're totally going to fail because fans are just going to tune out. SmackDown this week, even if Raw wasn't so stellar a show, and it really was, SmackDown this week still would have been a low-rated show. Still would have been. If you compare it to Raw, it doesn't even exist. It's an F-. But I'm not going to do that. As a standalone show, it's still a D. Nothing much got accomplished. You had one decent match, really. And I'm not seeing anything to really brag about coming off of SmackDown. Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to go a little bit better. D+, you know, and that's about as good as it can get. And let's just see what happens in a couple of weeks if they treat Raw the same way they do it is with SmackDown for that pay-per-view, you know. And
that's
and
a good
point. Look, you talked about Bobby Roode, what he could have said. Let's just have him twist it a little bit deeper and say, if it had been me with all your positives coming into the company, I would have at least matched John Cena in championships.
Bobby Roode has a reputation, good or bad, of having a big ego, and so does Randy Orton. I can't believe you're not playing off that. I cannot believe it. Todd, what's your rating this week?
I got to go with you. I got to go with a D.
There was nothing much to this. There's a couple of good things. I like the way they handled the Bludgeon Brothers to an extent. Kevin Owens and Ziggler put on a good match. But the rest of it was like on cruise control. It really was. Just like, oh, let's just get us out of here so we can go worry about the Elimination Chamber and not have to worry about stepping on their toes. And at the same time, until I'm proven wrong, I'm going to take the no Rusev showing up as your punishment for making your voices heard. So remember, folks, when I told you they're not listening to you, when they're saying, do you want Seth Rollins to be in the Elimination Chamber? Raise your hand. I was right. They're not listening to you. If they're listening to you, Rusev be on TV. Rusev would be fighting Jinder Mahal at the pay-per-view. It's not happening, is it? Nakamura, I don't know. I mean, maybe he's on vacation. I don't know. Nakamura kind of calls his own shots. But anyway, folks, we will be back here Sunday with the entire Elimination Chamber pre-show. We'll see you then. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.